Hello, this is your Sun Sounds volunteer broadcaster, Carol Hampton, bringing you this week's edition of Earth and Home. Today, we will be reading from Mother Earth News, April-May 2025, and Real Simple Magazine, Summer 2025. Let's get started with Mother Earth News. 7 Foraging Finds. Seek out these delicious wild edibles for their wealth of nutrients. By Bruce and Elaine Ingram. Wild edibles are particularly appealing because they're free for the gathering. To help you tap into that appeal, here are 7 widely distributed wild edibles that are as delicious as they are nutritious, plus recipes on how to prepare them. These foods are exceptionally high in vitamins and minerals, and their antioxidants can help ward off cancer and heart disease. When foraging for wild food, only harvest if you're 100% certain of your identification. While the following edibles are abundant, always keep sustainability in mind when foraging. Mother. 1. Watercress. A member of the mustard family, think kale, radishes, and turnips, and native to Europe and Asia. Watercress, Nasturtium officinale, grows in all continental U.S. states, with the exception of North Dakota. In southwest Virginia, where we live, watercress thrives in our 2 springs. This perennial vegetable can commonly be found in vast colonies in cool, shallow streams, floating on top or anchored in sediment. The 1/2 inch or so small round leaves are diagnostic, as are the dainty white flowers that appear in spring. We gather watercress year-round, but we especially favor it in winter as a fresh vegetable and in spring when the pleasant peppery taste seems the most intense. Watercress is rich in vitamins A, C, and K, and in antioxidants. Since we gather this vegetable from a spring, we don't consume it raw because of the risks of waterborne illnesses. Some folks grow watercress in greenhouses and sprinkle it raw on salads or serve it uncooked as a vegetable. Elaine stir-fries watercress for egg and soup dishes, while I relish it in mashed potatoes with salt, pepper, and butter. Watercress is considered noxious and invasive in 46 states, so harvest freely in those areas and help protect the environment. Mother. 2. Dandelion. The common dandelion, Taraxacum officinale, is a much reviled weed to some, but to us it's a valued wild perennial that's at its flavor peak from late winter through early summer. We especially like to gather them from under a layer of late fallen light snow, where they augur the spring to come. When dandelions appear in our garden, we celebrate by gathering the fresh leaves. The yellow flower heads are also edible and quite tasty. The long edible taproot ensures that even aggressively harvesting the long-toothed and deeply lobed leaves will result in the plant regenerating. The plant's hardiness helps explain how it can be found in all 50 states and much of Canada as well. The greens are rich in vitamins A, C, E, and K, and they're also generously imbued with calcium and iron. Dandelions do dandy in spring salads and go well with morels and early season veggies such as spinach and broccoli. Don't harvest dandelions from anywhere that's been treated with chemicals. 3. Broadleaf plantain. Like dandelions, broadleaf plantain, Plantago major, commonly appears in backyards. Native to Europe and Asia, this species thrives across most of North America and features large oval leaves that grow in a circular manner around the base. Those leaves are best harvested when they're smaller and fresher, since they can become bitter with age. We greatly prefer the leaves in spring because the heat also tends to make them less appealing come summer. Broadleaf plantain is a powerhouse plant, possessing impressive amounts of vitamins A, C, and K, as well as being a supplier of potassium and zinc. As a bonus, it flaunts anti-inflammatory properties as well. I don't care for the long, spine-shaped seed heads, but maybe I should, since they're rich in protein and omega-3 fatty acids. Enrich your soup and salads with the leaves, which can also be sautéed. 4. Blackberry. The blackberry is probably the most widespread wild summer fruit in America. The common blackberry, Rubus alleghaniensis, thrives across the eastern two-thirds of the country. Two close relatives, the Pacific blackberry, R. ursinus, and the sawtooth blackberry, R. argutus, make sure, respectively, that folks on the West Coast and those from Texas to Florida and up the eastern seaboard can enjoy its tangy tartness, too. Characterized by sharp thorns, large ebony berries up to 1/2 inch long, and 3 to 5 leaflets with pointed teeth. The blackberry ripens in midsummer throughout much of its range. Blackberries are extremely rich in vitamin C, and they also boast impressive amounts of vitamin K, fiber, and manganese. One of the sublime joys of summer for us is to pick a quart of berries in our backyard, and a little over an hour later, have Elaine turn them into a hot blackberry pie for dessert, perhaps with a dollop of vanilla ice cream on top. Blackberry also excels in cobblers, pancakes, muffins, waffles, jams, and clafu teas. 5. Blueberry. Two major species of blueberries flourish in North America. The lowbush blueberry, Vaccinium angustifolium, thrives in the upper Midwest and in the Northeast down to North Carolina and Tennessee. The highbush species, V. corymbosum, has a similar range, except it extends farther southward from East Texas and Oklahoma to Florida. The lowbush comes by its name honestly. On our land, they rarely top 2 feet in height, and they'll often form thick copses in the understory. Conversely, the highbush generally grows 6 to 12 feet tall, but it can reach 15 feet tall. Both sport simple, lance-like leaves about 2 inches long. Both are also exceptionally nutritious, since they're rich in vitamin C and K. Their flavonoids are known for their antioxidant capabilities, and this fruit also supports heart, bone, and skin health. The only drawback in gathering wild blueberries is that you'll be competing for them with many animals, from bears to turtles and many species of songbirds. But if you can find enough, blueberries can be turned into the usual assortment of sweet treats. A majority of the time, I only gather enough for toppings on cereal and oatmeal. 6. Black walnut. One could make the case that the native black walnut, Juglans nigra, is the healthiest wild nut in America. Ranging from East Texas to southern Nebraska, eastward to New England, and then south to northern Florida, this tall, majestic tree appears naturally in stream bottoms, along fence rows, at field edges, and in forest openings. It has also been planted in many backyards. The tree's alternating compound leaves can be up to 2 feet long and have around 20 narrow toothed leaflets. In autumn, the slightly smaller than a baseball green husks are diagnostic. They'll turn brown, then black, when they're left to lie on the ground. To beat squirrels to the inner nut meat, I gather walnuts in late September and then use a hammer to remove the green husks. I spread the nuts on sheets of newspaper to dry for several weeks and then hull them. The nut meat is brimming with vitamin A, fiber, iron, and minerals. Add in the impressive amounts of polyunsaturated fats and antioxidants, and the ability to protect against heart disease and cancer. And really, what more could one ask from a nut? Oh, how about its ability to turn even the most mundane loaves of bread and batches of cookies into tasty sensations with its rich and well nutty flavor? 7. Oyster mushroom. I've heard mushroom enthusiasts call the oyster mushroom, Pleurotus ostreatus, the healthiest of all wild fungi, and I can't disagree with that assessment. High in vitamin B and D, and known as a cancer-fighting and anti-inflammatory, oyster mushrooms are also high in iron and can boost our immune systems. They can be quite variable in color, ranging from dark or grayish-brown to tan or creamy white. Their size is also variable, extending to 7 inches across, but most of them are about 4 inches wide. The species earns its name since its fan-shaped appearance makes it look like it's a namesake seafood. Its margin, the edge of the mushroom cap, can be smooth or wavy and gives off a pleasant fishy or anise-like smell. Oyster mushrooms grow on dead or dying wood and are reputed to emerge throughout the year, but we've only found them in winter where we live. This species grows throughout much of North America. Oyster mushrooms go great as toppings for various meats and also in egg dishes, soups, and salads. As is true with almost all wild mushrooms, oysters should never be consumed raw. Elaine typically stir-fries them before we eat them. Now that you know what to keep an eye out for next time you're outdoors, don't forget to try some of the recipes. Bruce and Elaine Ingram are authors of Living the Locavore Lifestyle. For more information on this and other books of theirs, email bruceingramoutdoors@gmail.com. Watercress pesto. Pesto is less an exact recipe and more a set of guidelines. It's a wonderful way to highlight not just watercress, but also other forage spring greens such as ramps, nettles, and chickweed, even greens from the garden such as young pea shoots, arugula, and spinach. Watercress is delightfully peppery on its own, but you can mellow it out by adding other greens. Pine nuts are a classic ingredient in pesto, but you can substitute different nuts or seeds such as pumpkin seeds, sunflower seeds, hazelnuts, walnuts, or pecans. We like to roast the nuts or seeds in the oven or a pan for a couple of minutes first to enhance their taste. Keep a close eye on them so they don't burn. Watercress pesto is good on pasta, as a sandwich spread, or alongside roasted vegetables and meat. Yield, 4 servings. Ingredients, 4 large handfuls watercress, 1/2 cup Parmesan shaved or shredded, 1/2 cup unsalted nuts or seeds, 1/2 cup extra virgin olive oil, sea salt to taste, fresh garlic, optional, lemon juice, optional, pepper, optional. 1. Cut off the watercress roots and then rinse the leaves and stems a few times to wash away any silt or debris. 2. Blanch any wild harvested watercress for about a minute in boiling water. Strain it in a colander first and then squeeze the excess moisture out with a clean tea towel. 3. Blend the watercress, cheese, and nuts or seeds in a food processor. Then drizzle in the olive oil and process it until it reaches the desired consistency. More or less oil is okay. 4. Add salt as needed. You can also add fresh garlic, a sprinkle of lemon juice, or pepper, and a skimp. Blackberry clafouti. Clafouti is a simple dessert that also goes well as a breakfast dish. As it bakes, the batter separates into layers of a dough bottom, custardy middle, and berries on top. Yield, 6 servings. Ingredients, 4 tablespoons butter, 2 to 3 cups fresh blackberries, 1/2 cup flour, 1/2 cup sugar, 1 tablespoon cornstarch, 1/8 teaspoon salt, 3 eggs, 3/4 cup milk, 1/2 teaspoon almond extract, 1/2 teaspoon vanilla extract, 1/4 teaspoon Fiore di Sicilia, vanilla with citrus flavoring, confectioner's sugar, optional. 1. Preheat oven to 350 degrees Fahrenheit, and then grease a 2-quart baking dish. 2. Melt butter and allow to cool. 3. Spread berries in an even layer over the bottom of the greased baking dish. 4. Put all remaining ingredients, including the melted butter, in blender. Blend until smooth and foamy, scraping once to pull in bits that cling to the sides. The mixture should be foamy and thinner than pancake batter. 5. Pour batter over berries. 6. Bake for 40 minutes. Cool at least 10 minutes before serving, although letting clafouti cool to room temperature is fine. If desired, sprinkle with confectioner's sugar before serving. Elaine Ingram. Eat plants for better brain performance. If you struggle with focus and memory lapses, mental fog or stress, or if you simply want to optimize your mental performance and protect your brain health, Smart Plants is a must-read. Written by New York Times best-selling author and natural food chef Julie Morris, this groundbreaking book reveals the dietary secrets to better brain performance. Combining scientific research with the wisdom of ancient remedies, Morris showcases an exciting array of cognition-enhancing plants, from everyday foods to natural nootropics. Included are 65 mouth-watering, beautifully illustrated recipes to make it easy to incorporate these powerful foods into your daily diet. This title is available at store.motherearthnews.com or by calling 800-234-3368. That's 800-234-3368, item number 9965. That concludes the article, 7 Foraging Finds. You are listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona. This is Earth and Home, and I am your volunteer broadcaster, Carol Hampton. Now let's move on to another article. Hometown Hacks, Projects from Our Readers. Avoid surprises when shopping for land. Find Your Perfect Place by Colette Kinney. Building a little cabin in nature was a dream I had for many years. Going from living in a big city to living my dream in the country was a decade in the making. During that time, I invested several years in land shopping. Over time, I learned that even land that looked good could hide surprises that could break my budget, block my build entirely, or harm my future enjoyment of my dream home. Research the safety of the lot. Safety from historical contamination. One of the worst possible surprises is contamination, whether from a buried residential oil tank, commercial gasoline tank, or other previous industry. The costs associated with environmental studies and the remediation of contamination could be in the tens of thousands of dollars, if not hundreds of thousands. Keep in mind that laws requiring full disclosure won't cover what the realtor and current owners don't know. County records, local historians, and contractors can be helpful sources of information. Safety from present-day or future contamination. Some surprises, such as potential contamination of your well water, may be invisible and dangerous. For this reason, identify how close your potential lot is to garbage dumps, cemeteries, large-scale agricultural and industrial operations, and pipelines. Present waste management sites will be on the municipality's zoning map. Call local municipal politicians as well as municipal staff to identify past and possible future sites. As you drive around the area, consider the size of operations that are zoned agricultural or rural industrial around the lot. Where are these operations in relation to your potential lot in terms of the prevailing wind? The U.S. Geological Survey, USGS, National Map app, available at https://apps.nationalmap.gov/viewer, allows you to enter the address of your lot and generate a topographical profile to get a sense of where the water, rain, or snowmelt will run in relation to your lot. Potential environmental damage. If you build in an area prone to flooding, it could damage your home and expose you to unanticipated repair costs and insurance headaches. There are several methods to avoid buying land that floods. If you have a fairly narrow target region in which you're shopping, drive around in spring and get the lay of the land. Compare what you're seeing to the county floodplain map and soil map, if available. When you're viewing a particular lot, look carefully for vegetation that indicates wet land. The website www.realtor.com now offers limited environmental risk data free of charge, and it identifies each lot with a rating out of 10 for flood, fire, wind, air quality, and heat. Freedom to build. Municipal barriers to building what you want. The best advice I got about dealing with my potential municipality was from my attorney. He recommended that I meet with the people in charge of permits right away because I was a tiny home pioneer, and many townships didn't allow them. I decided to shop for land only where I could legally build a tiny house. That way, I could use my budget to sink a well and get my build going rather than spending it on expensive legal challenges. Reading zoning documents does get easier with practice. Set your priorities. Do you want to keep livestock? What size lot and zoning is required? Want to run a home business? Make sure you'll have the right to do so. Zoning may block or restrict development near floodplains. wetlands, creeks, streams, and inland lakes, as well as specially designated areas for species at risk or the protection of other natural resources. Check with each organization and level involved to ensure you have a green light. Start with the basics: water, septic, and hydro. What comes first, the water or the septic? It's never too early to begin identifying where on the lot your home and amenities might be located. There are legal distances that must be observed between them. The smaller the lot, the more difficult the placement of these essentials becomes. Do you want your septic system to dictate where your well can be placed? What if there's no water there? For this reason, I started my site plan with my well. If you place your septic without checking that it's actually suitable, you could be in for a big surprise. This happened locally with a cottage already under construction when they discovered that the location for the septic bed was solid granite. An architect friend of mine, Glenn Wither, estimates that a specialized septic system on a rock bed like that could almost double its cost. Some rural counties now require an area identification of a second septic bed as a future replacement. If a county has this requirement, it may be why a number of small lots are priced to sell. Potential threats to your quality of life. Legal issues. You don't want to live where you have problems with neighbors or crime. If you're buying locally, you'll have an advantage in this area. If you're from out of town, use community knowledge to get a sense of the neighborhood. In one case, a concerned citizen in a local restaurant warned me about a crime situation close to a lot I was in town to view. Neither the landowner nor a neighbor had disclosed this issue to me when I spoke with them. The situation was so serious I lost all interest in the lot. If you want a private nature retreat, make sure you're the only one who has the right to be on your property. Whether you buy from a realtor or privately, speak with an attorney to undertake all title and other legal checks. You don't want to buy and then find out you're stuck with a right-of-way or easement on your land that you can't dissolve. Noise pollution. If you find a lot you really like, do some research into potential sources of nearby noise pollution. The municipality zoning map and a current topographical map are good places to start. Potential sources of noise include day and night traffic, ATV trails, businesses, campgrounds, and firing ranges. If your lot is beside land that's zoned industrial, you can't stop someone from operating a noisy business there. Your laneway, is it safe? Just because you actually can build something doesn't always mean you should. Near where I live is a beautiful custom-built home, perched high atop a laneway on a steep 45-degree slope to the road. One icy winter day, the owner's truck slid right down his driveway and across the road into a ditch. The truck was totaled. Features like this may affect the resale value of your home. Final tips. Take your time. In many cases, time and patience will identify potential problems with a lot or confirm that it's perfect for you. Ask and ask again. Many people you'll be speaking with have interests that may be in conflict with yours. I learned over the years that what isn't said often speaks volumes. Budget for exploration and confirmation. Sometimes you may need to spend more money to ensure a lot is suitable, especially a smaller lot. Keep track and compare. Keep detailed notes on each lot you visit. There are lessons to be learned. No lot will be perfect, so set your own priorities. Colette Kinney is a homesteader and professional writer with a passion for sharing her knowledge about sustainable housing and self-sufficiency. She lives on her half-acre homestead where she makes herbal medicines and grows delicious food in her organic garden. You can find more information about her eco cabin and her free course, Growing Self-Sufficiency, The Whole Picture, on her website, www.halfacrehomestead.ca. That concludes Avoid Surprises When Shopping for Land. Now we'll move on to Real Simple Magazine. How to do things. Clean this. Degerm your hard shell carry-on. This really thorough routine will have you ready to roll, by Rhea Bagwat. 1. Disinfect. Your bag likely has a good case of the travel bug. As you drag it around, bacteria can hitch a ride. After each trip, give the plastic shell a once-over with a disinfecting wipe or a microfiber cloth dampened with water and a little liquid dish soap. Don't forget the handle, the wheels, and all the crevices. 2. Remove scuffs. If you see any marks, make a paste of equal parts baking soda and water, and use an old toothbrush or small soft bristle brush to scrub them away. Wipe off any residual paste with a clean, damp cloth. 3. Deodorize the inside. The inside isn't nearly the microbe jamboree that the outside is, but it can start to smell stale after transporting your vacay's dirty laundry. To fix this, open your empty suitcase and sprinkle baking soda over the fabric. Leave it there overnight to absorb odors. In the morning, vacuum it up using a nozzle attachment. Lastly, add a drop of dish soap to a damp cloth and wipe the liner. Let it air dry for a few hours before packing the suitcase away. Carry-on trunk, $455, July.com. That concludes Degerm Your Hard Shell Carry-On. Organize this, your gardening station. We think you'll really dig these Smart Potting Bench Solutions by Hannah Baker. Grow upward. Maximize the vertical space behind any work surface by mounting shelves and loading them up with supplies. Alternatively, a pegboard with lots of hooks can hold all your hand tools. Sort and store seeds. Genius idea. Slide seed packets into photo albums so you can easily flip through and ID what you have. Place loose seeds in repurposed pill bottles, airtight jars, or tackle boxes. Just make sure you label what's what. Decant your dirt. While keeping garden soil in its original bag can be okay in the short term, any tears or openings may invite pests or let in too much humidity, which can ruin it in a matter of weeks. Instead, transfer it to an airtight container and store it in a cool, dark spot. Hang around. Magnetic and adhesive hooks are always handy because they can go anywhere, like the side of a cabinet. Add a few to put your most used stuff within reach, and hide anything that's ugly, see dirt, or less often used behind closed doors. That concludes your gardening station. If you missed any part of this program or are interested in another program, check out our on-demand menu on sunsounds.org. We are at the conclusion of this week's Earth and Home program. This is your Sun Sounds of Arizona volunteer broadcaster, Carol Hampton. Thank you for tuning in this week. Join me next time for another new and informative program. Have a great week and stay tuned to Sun Sounds of Arizona.